A 15-year can make it possible to be mortgage-free before you retire. As I will explain later, I think a key to feeling safe and secure in retirement is not having to worry about a mortgage payment. My advice, before you start house shopping, is to play around with an online mortgage calculator to see which size mortgage you can afford with a 15-year payback period. For instance, instead of borrowing $200,000 for 30 years, borrowing $150,000 for 15 years would keep your monthly payment in line with the 30-year, but save you plenty in interest charges and build your security in double time. Remember my advice to live below your means but within your needs? Even if a lender says you can afford the $200,000 mortgage, I want you to slow down and ask yourself, what would I gain if I bought a less expensive home that I could pay off faster? If a 15-year mortgage is not feasible, make it a goal to pay off your 30-year mortgage ahead of schedule. Making one additional payment a year will shave years off the time it takes to repay the loan. There are free online calculators that will show you how adding to your principal payment will speed up your payback. Buying a car. Whenever I meet someone who tells me wistfully she wishes she could save more in a Roth IRA or save up enough to make a solid down payment on a home, I immediately ask what's parked in her garage or driveway. Typically, it's a car that was bought with a loan that carries a monthly cost of more than $400 a month. Households with two car payments can be spending more on what's inside their garage than the mortgage cost for the entire house. I have to tell you, the money you spend on cars drives me crazy. You are missing out on a fantastic opportunity to free up money for the financial goals that are important to you. If you spent the least amount possible on cars, imagine what you could do with all that extra monthly cash. Can we agree that a less expensive car will certainly get the job done? A less expensive car will idle in traffic just as well as an expensive car. A less expensive car will get the kids to soccer practice on time and will have plenty of safety features. A less expensive car can hold just as much after a Costco or Sam's Club run as an expensive car. Let's consider two car buying scenarios. Option 1. Spend $450 a month on a car payment. Option 2. Spend $200 on a car payment and invest $250 a month in a Roth IRA. After 5 years, option 1 leaves you with a car that you can keep driving. Option 2 leaves you with a car that you can drive and more than $17,000 in a Roth IRA, if we assume your retirement account grows at an annualized 5%. Even if you stopped saving more in the Roth, but let it just keep growing for another 20 years, the $17,000 would be worth more than $45,000, all because you made the choice to drive a less expensive car 25 years earlier. And that plays out with every car you buy. Over your lifetime, it's reasonable to assume that being a smart car buyer could generate $150,000 in savings. Just imagine the financial security you could achieve with that $150,000. Your car buying guide. Do not lease. Leasing is a big mistake that can keep you in a forever loop of owing monthly payments. A standard car loan is for a set period of time. You make monthly payments for 3, 4, 5, or more years. Once you have paid off the loan, you own the car outright. If you bought a new car and paid it off in 4 years, that could easily give you another 5 to 10 years or so of driving the car without owing a loan payment. Those are years in which you will have more monthly cash flow to put toward other goals. With a lease, your payments likely never stop. A lease is typically for 36 months, after which you either can buy the car or take out a new lease. Most people who lease opt for the latter. Thus, they never have any time when they are not making a car payment. Aim for a 36-month or 48-month car loan. As I write this, the average car loan is for about 70 months, and one-third of loans are for more than 6 years. That is not my definition of smart. The average loan term has nearly doubled over the past generation as a way for the auto industry to sell a too expensive car to households who, through no fault of their own, have seen their income stuck in neutral for years. Stretching out loan payments over 5 or 6 years brings your monthly payment lower. That's a tempting sales hook, but it is just a ruse to get you to spend more money on a purchase that is guaranteed to lose value. It is important to understand that a car is a depreciating asset. That means it loses value from day one. When you sell or trade in your car, you will never sell it for anywhere near what you paid. I get that you will require a car loan, but it makes no sense to borrow more than you need to for a purchase that will only lose value and eventually have to be replaced. That's why I want you to take out a loan that will be paid off in 36 months or 48 months at the most. Will that require you to buy a less expensive car? Yes. That's borrowing smart. Spend less on a car today and get it paid off faster, and you have extra dollars to put toward other financial goals. Here are some estimates of how much you could borrow if your goal is to get a loan paid off in 4 years or less. A down payment and trade-in of a current car will add to the total sticker price you can reasonably afford. If the interest rate in the loan is 4%, a $250 monthly payment for 36 months would get you a loan of less than $10,000, 48 months less than $12,500. A $300 monthly payment for 36 months could get you a car loan of less than $12,000, 48 months less than $15,000. A $350 monthly payment for 36 months would get you a loan less than $13,300, 48 months less than $17,000. If your interest rate is 5%, a $250 monthly payment for 36 months would get you a loan of less than $10,000. For 48 months, less than $12,300. A $300 monthly payment for 36 months would get you less than $11,500. For 48 months, less than $14,400. A $350 monthly payment for 36 months would get you a loan of less than $13,100. For 48 months, less than $16,600. If your interest rate is 6%, a $250 monthly payment for 36 months would get you a loan of less than $8,500. For 48 months, less than $10,500. A $300 monthly payment for 36 months would get you a loan of less than $10,000. 48 months, less than $12,500. A $350 monthly payment for 36 months would get you a loan of less than $11,500. 48 months, less than $14,750. Consider a used car. There are safe, reliable new cars that cost $15,000 to $20,000. If you have the need for a new car smell and decide to borrow smart, you can stick with new. But before you buy new, I'd encourage you to check out the used car market, especially certified pre-owned cars backed by a dealer warranty. One of the best ways to borrow smart is to buy a car that is a few years old. New cars lose about 20% of their value after 1 year. At the end of 3 years, their value is nearly 40% lower. Buy a car that is a few years old, and the sticker price will be 20% to 40% less than if you bought new. Now, of course, the used car has some wear and tear. But thanks to manufacturing advances, cars are so much more reliable than they were when I started driving, 50 years ago. A 2 or 3 year old car that hasn't put on a ton of miles can keep running reliably for another 7 to 10 years or more. Keep driving the car as long as possible. Your goal should be to drive your car for as long as it is reliable. Yet what I see happening is that after 3, 4, or 5 years, you come up with some rationalization that you need or deserve a new car. You spend so much time commuting, you deserve to have a nice car. Or you feel like buying a home is out of your reach, so hey, why not buy a nice car? It's still a fraction of what a house costs. I hope that by now you can understand the huge opportunity cost of that sort of thinking. If you keep a car for 5, 10 years after you have paid off the loan, those are years where you can tackle other money goals. How your car buying can build financial security. If you have a $300 monthly payment for 48 months, your payment in month 49 would be zero. If you have a $300 monthly payment for 72 months, your payment in month 49 would be $300. If you have a $300 monthly payment for 48 months, the savings from redirecting those $300 payments to savings in months 49 to 72 would be $6,900. If you have a $300 monthly payment for 72 months, there would be no savings in months 49 to 72. If you have a $300 monthly payment for 48 months, and you continue to save $300 a month from months 73 to 120, your savings would be $14,100, the same as if you had had the $300 monthly payment for 72 months. If you had a $300 payment for 48 months, the total potential savings in keeping a car 10 years would be $21,000. If you had a $300 monthly payment for 72 months, the total potential savings in keeping a car 10 years would be $14,100. As I stated earlier, there is a lot of potential money parked in your garage or driveway. Spending the lowest amount possible on a car and then keeping it for as long as possible will give you tens of thousands of dollars, especially if you are a two-car household. My advice is that the minute you make your last car loan payment, open a new savings account at the bank where you have a checking account. It can take less than 5 minutes to do this online. Then set up an automatic monthly transfer from your checking account into this new savings account for the exact amount of your old car payment. If your bank or credit union allows you to name the account, give it an empowering name: Car Smart, Big Time Savings. You and I both know you can afford to do this. You are just continuing a monthly payment you've been making for years. It is up to you how you want to use this money. Just promise yourself that it will only be used to buy you freedom from worry. Maybe that's making a quarterly transfer into your emergency savings fund. Maybe it's an extra quarterly investment in your Roth IRA. Or maybe it's a side fund that will help you help your parents as they age. College. This is the trickiest financial challenge you will ever face. There is no greater impulse than to provide for your children. But the system is set up to lead you straight into financial mistakes that can take decades to undo. Parents are allowed to, often encouraged to, borrow as much as they need, regardless of whether they can afford to pay it back. The Federal PLUS Loan Program that provides loans to parents to pay for a child's college costs does not apply the standard vetting lenders use to review car and home loan applications. No one calculates whether you have sufficient income to handle all your debt payments. No one is checking your credit scores to see if there might be a tip-off that your family is already financially stressed. No one is asking whether you will be able to handle the payments and keep saving for your own retirement. All you need to prove is that you aren't behind on debt payments and you haven't declared bankruptcy recently, and you can borrow through the Federal PLUS Loan Program, regardless of whether it will put your family's finances at great risk. This section of the Financial Empowerment Plan, more than any other, will determine the ability of your entire family to thrive in the coming decades. Follow my advice, and you and your children will come out of the college years in great financial shape. This sets you up for a happier retirement, and it launches your children into adulthood with confidence and excitement about their future. Spending smart on college can be the most liberating blessing for your family. Ensure that you will not be a financial burden on your children. Okay, I know that sounds a bit crazy. What does it have to do with college financing? Everything. We get so caught up in the here and now of our lives, it becomes hard, if not impossible, to anticipate the repercussions of the choices we make today. That can lead us to make decisions right now that can seem so right, so loving, so parental, but that ultimately will cause family heartache down the line. I can best help you see this by asking you to answer yes or no to the following statements. I/we are on track with our retirement savings. We are very confident we will be in great shape when we retire. If I/we decided to take out loans for college, we would still be able to continue saving for retirement. I/we work in a field where we see solid job security throughout our 50s and into our 60s. We expect, not just hope, we can continue to work in our careers throughout our child's college years. I/we do not carry credit card balances. I/we are prepared to step in and provide financial support to our own parents if the need arises. Unless you confidently answered yes to every question, I need you to understand that borrowing for college could cause your kids incredible heartache. Let's flash forward a decade or two after your child is done with college. You are approaching retirement age. Maybe there are grandchildren beginning to arrive. What should be a wonderful stage for your entire family is, sadly, draped with anxiety. Because you borrowed so much for your child's education, you can't afford to retire, either because you still have those loans to pay off, or the borrowing you did caused you to stop adding to your retirement funds during the kids' college years. So now when you run the retirement calculators, you are concerned about what you see. You are game for working longer, to keep bringing in income and tucking a little away for your retirement years, yet you worry whether your employer will let you keep working. That's a recipe for a multi-generational financial mess. If you ultimately do not save enough for retirement, your kids will need to step in and provide financial support. Maybe you have done this for your parents, or you watched your parents do it for your grandparents. It is always done with love and with no regrets. There is no fiercer act of love than to take care of family. But that does not mean it comes without great cost. Please know that I am not just talking about the impact on the family's finances. There is an emotional cost that comes with having to stretch your spending today to support loved ones, knowing that it will likely cause the cycle to repeat with your own children. That's a dynamic that causes multi-generational stress. I am asking you to consider what it will take to break that cycle. I know you do not want to impose that on your children. I know you do not anticipate that will be the case. But I ask you to seriously review the questions I asked. They are the questions that, if answered honestly, will reduce the chances of your putting your children in the position of needing to help support you. If borrowing for college will put your family at future financial risk, I ask you to stand in that truth. Not borrowing for college can be the most powerful and loving gesture you will ever make. Worried about disappointing your kids? Here's what I hear from so many young adults in their 20s and 30s. They are shocked and guilt-ridden when they finally figure out what their parents did to pay for college and how that has put their parents' future at risk. They tell me they wish they had known at 17 what they know at 27 and 37. They would have gladly made different college choices if they had known the impact it could have on their parents' future. Do your kids right. Be honest about your ability to borrow. Have the talk in ninth grade. Every family needs a college financial game plan. The goal is to have a variety of schools to choose from that will not break the bank. But to have that flexibility in the spring of your child's junior year of high school requires advanced planning. Starting in ninth grade, begin to think about building a list of potential schools that fall into three buckets. 1. Dream schools. These are the schools at the top of your child's list, but you will ultimately consider them only if the aid package will allow your family to emerge from school with a manageable level of debt. We will discuss that in a bit. 2. Great schools that will offer more aid. Starting to plan in freshman year in high school gives you time to work with counselors and do research to find schools where your child may be such a catch that she will qualify for a generous aid package. And by aid, I mean grants and scholarships. As I explain in the next step, many schools disguise parental loans as aid. You are not going to fall blindly into that trap. I think of these as financial dream schools, places your child will thrive at, but that also are truly, honestly affordable. 3. In-state schools. I don't need to explain that a state school will cost one-third or less what a private four-year college might cost. A state school can deliver a great education at the right price. I also recommend considering community college as a smart path for your family. There are plenty of careers that require a two-year associate's degree. Or you and your child can hatch a plan to start at a community college and then transfer to finish at a four-year college. That can greatly reduce the cost of college. The goal is for your child to apply to schools from all three buckets. If the dream school comes through with a great aid package, you're set. But if the dream school is going to make a financial mess of your family's future, I want you to have better, smarter options. Understand the difference between aid and loans. When your child is accepted at a school and you have applied for financial assistance, you will be presented with a financial aid award letter. There is no uniform standard for how these letters must present the package. The sad fact is that schools routinely consider loans as aid. It is up to you to carefully review the award letter to understand the costs the school is absorbing in scholarships and grants, and the costs they expect you to pay for through loans that you and your child take out. Take out federal loans, not private loans. There are two types of college loans, federal loans and private loans. federal loans, available through the government. Families must complete the Free Application for Federal Student Aid, FAFSA, to be eligible. The federal Stafford loan is not need-based. Any student can borrow. The interest rate is fixed. It will never change. The federal PLUS loan is for parents to borrow for a child's education. It is also a fixed-rate loan, and there are no income limits. Federal Perkins loans are reserved for students who have exceptional financial need. Private loans. Available from banks, credit unions, and online lenders. Eligibility and terms are based on a financial analysis and credit check. Private loans can be fixed rate or variable rate. Your family should use only federal loans. Private loans are dangerous. They work a lot like credit cards. Most private student loans have variable interest rates. The rate can rise when general interest rates increase. And, as with a credit card, if you trip up and miss a payment, the lender can raise your rate. Federal loans charge a fixed, permanent interest rate. Federal loans also offer a lot more flexibility in repayment. There are a variety of different payback plans, even loan forgiveness if you work in certain public service fields. None of that is available with private loans. Kids borrow first. Federal Stafford loans. I know you wish you could provide everything for your child, but please remember what we discussed earlier. Your family needs to make smart decisions today that will help all of you feel secure tomorrow. And having your kids borrow first is the smartest college financing move. The interest rates on federal student loans are much lower than the interest rate charged on federal PLUS loans for parents. Federal Stafford loans are available to all students, regardless of family income. Please listen to that again. Federal Stafford loans are available to all students, regardless of family income. Every student is eligible for a federal Stafford loan. If you need to borrow, and your family is not eligible for a Perkins loan, a Stafford should be your first option. Here's what I like about federal Stafford loans. You can't really overborrow. There are annual loan limits. In 2018, the limit is $5,500 a year for freshmen, $6,500 a year for sophomores, and $7,500 for juniors and seniors. Children who are not claimed as a dependent on a parent's tax return can borrow more. A terrific rule of thumb is that a child's total college borrowing should not exceed what she can expect to earn in her first year out of school. College aid expert Mark Kantrowitz says that if you follow this guideline, it's likely the child will be able to handle a standard 10-year repayment plan, which is exactly what you want. A reasonable interest rate. Stafford loans charge a fixed interest rate. The rate is set each summer and uses a formula that is tied to the interest rate on a 10-year U.S. Treasury note. For the 2017-2018 academic year, the Stafford loan rate for undergraduates was 4.45%. Families that meet certain requirements may qualify to have a portion of their Stafford loan subsidized. This means that while the student is in school, the government pays the interest due on the loan. Unsubsidized Stafford loans require the student to be responsible for the interest while in school. Most students opt to have the in-school interest charges added to their loan balance rather than pay the interest while in school. Flexible repayment programs. While it is best to aim to repay a loan within 10 years, the federal loan program also has options that can spread the payment out over a longer period or be pegged to your income as a way to help you handle the payments. You may also be able to qualify for loan forgiveness after 10 years if you work in certain public service fields. Providing parental aid. I meant what I said before. If taking out a loan to help pay for your child's education means you will need to scale back your retirement savings or makes you have to work well into your 70s, that's not acceptable. But I realize some of you may be in a position where you can borrow a responsible amount. Here's how to proceed, carefully. Borrow via the Federal Plus Loan Program. The interest rate is fixed. The rate for the 2017-2018 academic year was 7%. If you have a terrific FICO score of at least 740, you may be able to qualify for a private student loan with a lower rate. Please be very careful. If the rate is adjustable, your borrowing costs could rise. And keep in mind that if you die and still owe money on a private loan, the lender will expect your estate to keep paying. With a federal loan, the debt dies with you. Aim to repay the loan in 10 years or before you retire, whichever is sooner. The standard repayment period is 10 years, though there are options to take longer. Needing longer than 10 years is a sure sign you are borrowing too much. At the website Big Future, which is run by the College Board, bigfuture.collegeboard.org/pay-4-college/loans/parent-loan-repayment, you can calculate what your monthly payments will be. For instance, borrowing $25,000 a year for 4 years works out to a monthly payment of around $1,200 for 10 years, assuming a 7% interest rate. Again, no one is going to tell you that it is too much. You have to stand tall and make a responsible choice. A responsible choice means knowing that even if you did not receive another raise for 10 years, you could handle the payment. Even better, given the iffiness of staying employed throughout your 50s and 60s, would you be able to handle the payback if you were laid off and your next job paid 10% less? 3. Build your future. I know that for many of you, the topic of retirement planning triggers anxiety. Given what's at stake, given all the moving pieces, I absolutely understand that response. But here is what I need you to know right here and now. You have everything it takes to flip the switch from anxious to confident. You do not need to find any new superpowers to tackle retirement planning. There is no advanced financial math you need to master, nor do you need to become an investing expert if you don't want to. All that is needed is that you summon the nurturing, kind, and supportive qualities you bring to others, at home, at work, and focus that energy on your future. Retirement planning is a 360-degree win. It's an act of generosity that will radiate in all directions. Removing the anxiety creates more space for happiness today. That, in turn, enriches the quality of your relationships, both personal and professional. And knowing you are doing what is within your control to build a secure tomorrow is going to blanket you in newfound peace. The first step is to take a few deep breaths. On each exhalation, speak these words of truth to yourself. Fear comes from inaction. I am ready to remove worry and anxiety from my todays by making smart and strong decisions that will build retirement security. Across the generations, I recognize that one of the big obstacles is being justifiably overwhelmed by all that falls under the heading of retirement planning. And those online calculators that say you need to save a gazillion dollars to retire aren't just demotivating, they are terrifying. I hear you. I feel the anxiety. I have a plan. Actually, I have two plans. Retirement planning before age 50 and retirement planning for those who are 50 plus. What a young and fabulous 27-year-old daughter needs to focus on is different than what I want her mother or grandmother or aunt to tackle. That said, I'd love for everyone to listen to both sections, to learn, and to help each other. Retirement planning is the most devilish of financial goals. It is 100% dependent on mastering delayed gratification. Every smart move is about making a choice today that will benefit you decades later. There's no immediate payoff. Dieting for 2 months is hard, and here I am asking you to stick to a retirement plan for the rest of your life. Not exactly easy or natural. That's where community can be so important. We can encourage, cajole, commiserate with one another. We support each other in so many ways. There's not a relationship we won't talk about. Spouses, lovers, colleagues, bosses, siblings, kids, kids, kids. Talking helps us work things out. It offers us support and perspective. We all have people we turn to for their wisdom. Yet money is a walled-off topic that is not discussed. By isolating money, we give it more power to gnaw at us. Retirement planning is a lifelong process. Rather than tackle it in isolation, I encourage you to draw your girlfriends, family, colleagues, and friends close and make it another part of your sharing circles for support, for motivation, for the calming perspective that comes when we realize we are not alone. Let's keep talking. Becoming a smart, secure, and strong woman in control of her money is a process. As you embark on your personal journey, I hope you will join in and share your experiences, questions, triumphs, and frustrations with other women. I host a weekly Women and Money podcast, and I am so excited that we are building an online community for women and money where you can share, help, encourage, and get your questions answered. Go to SusieOrman.com/women to learn more. My promise: a very focused plan you can achieve. I could fill a book or two with retirement planning advice, and I have. But I also know that too much information or a too long to-do list may backfire. Presented with so many tasks, you may never find the will to get started, or you might quickly lose your motivation. I have taken all that to heart and honed my advice to focus on the absolute essentials. In each of the two plans, there are four main steps I want you to tackle. Four. Not 14, not 44. Follow through on the four steps, and you will have taken a massive leap forward in building retirement security. If, in the process of following my streamlined retirement plan, you find yourself interested and motivated to learn more, that's great. Not necessary, but great. My online personal finance course that you can access for free at SusieU.com/activate, use the activation code MONEY, includes more detailed information on retirement planning. But I want to be very clear. Every woman who completes my four-step plan is doing a fantastic job. You are controlling the biggest, most important factors that will give you confidence today, and you are taking control of building a secure tomorrow. Advice across the ages. A quick spin through retirement accounts. Before we dive into the specific plans, I want to share some basic information that is important to understand. Special accounts for retirement. There are two types of investment accounts specifically for retirement savings. workplace retirement plans. Some of you may have the opportunity to save for retirement through a workplace plan, such as a 401k or 403b. In 2018, anyone younger than 50 can contribute up to $18,500. The annual limit is $24,500 if you are at least 50 years old. Many workplace retirement plans offer a matching contribution. If you agree to save some of your salary, your employer will kick in a contribution as well. For example, a common matching formula is for an employer to match 50% of a worker's contribution up to 6% of their salary. That means that if the worker contributes 6%, the employer will deposit another 3% into her account. That's a deal no one should ever pass up. Contributions you make to a workplace plan are automatically taken out of every paycheck and invested in your retirement account. That's a great way to stay committed to saving. Individual retirement plans, IRAs. These are accounts anyone can open at a low-cost investment brokerage such as TD Ameritrade, Schwab, Fidelity, or Vanguard. In 2018, anyone younger than age 50 can invest $5,500 annually. The limit is $6,500 for anyone at least 50 years old. The best way to invest in an IRA is to arrange a direct deposit from your checking account into your IRA account. This will take less than 10 minutes of your time to set up online at the investment firm where you have your IRA. Then you can have money transferred biweekly, monthly, or quarterly. You set the frequency. What's important is that you automate the process. To save $5,500 a year, the 2018 IRA limit for anyone younger than 50, set up 26 biweekly transfers of $211, or set up 12 monthly transfers of $458, or set up 4 quarterly transfers of $1,375. To save $6,500 a year, the 2018 limit for anyone at least 50 years old, set up 26 biweekly transfers of $250, or set up 12 monthly transfers of $541, or set up 4 quarterly transfers of $1,625. There are two distinct styles of 401ks and IRAs you can choose between: traditional accounts or Roth accounts. Whenever you have the option to save for retirement in a Roth 401k or Roth IRA, grab it. The main difference in these accounts is the timing of when you pay your IRS tax bill. With Roths, you essentially pay your tax bill today. Your investment will come out of income that has already been taxed. And then, in retirement, you can use money in your Roth without owing any tax. With a traditional account, you get a tax break today. Your investment is made with income that has not been taxed, which reduces your current tax bill. And then, in retirement, every penny you withdraw from your traditional account will be taxed as ordinary income. I strongly recommend you always choose the Roth 401k or Roth IRA when you have the option. Tax-free income in retirement is going to be so very valuable. Retirement planning before age 50. Step 1. Save at least 10% of your salary. What you manage to save is 100% in your control. How your savings grow over time, based on the performance of stock and bond markets your retirement accounts are invested in, is not in your control. Yet so many people make the mistake of focusing all their time and energy on how their money is invested, when their future depends more on how much they manage to save each year. If you are saving too little, How that money is invested won't make up for your too low savings rate. Even worse, it can lead you to be too aggressive with your investing when you realize years from now that you don't have enough saved for retirement and you want to try and catch up by making riskier investments. Your retirement goal. I want every woman, every household, to aim to put at least 10% of their salary into retirement savings each year. Notice I said at least 10%. Saving 15% of your pre-tax salary in a retirement account is my best advice, but I don't want to scare you off. Get to a 10% savings rate ASAP. That's a fantastic step. My hope is that you will be so energized by that accomplishment, you will then keep pushing on to get to a 15% savings rate. Multiply your annual pre-tax salary by 0.10. This equals your annual retirement savings goal. Divide your annual retirement savings goal by 52. This equals your weekly commitment to your future. Plug your weekly savings goal into your new declaration of retirement security. Saving X dollars a week is my commitment to giving myself the future I deserve. What I save today is not a sacrifice. It is a blessing that I can banish the fear and worry that comes from doing nothing. Why am I telling you to save so much? You could spend more than 2 decades in retirement. It is no longer rare to live until age 90. The safe, not sorry assumption financial advisors use when building retirement plans for clients is to assume living until age 95. Think about that. If you retire at 65, your savings need to help support you for 30 years. You shouldn't count on the markets to do the heavy lifting. One of the big mistakes I see is that people assume their retirement accounts will grow at 10% or so, on average, each year. That's way too optimistic, if you ask me. Successful retirement planning is not about hoping for the best. You want to make conservative assumptions to ensure you will be fine, even if the markets don't deliver knockout returns. Throughout the plan, you will see that I use a 5% rate of return in my assumptions. That's half the long-term historic rate of return for stocks. That's not me being overly cautious. It's me giving you the highest probability of success. If your retirement plan is based on a conservative rate of return, you can be more optimistic that you will reach your goals. I am also giving you some breathing room. If returns are in fact higher, you may be able to scale back your savings in your 50s if your accounts have grown bigger than anticipated. That can be an incredible advantage and is far better than hitting your 50s only to find that your accounts are nowhere near where they need to be to give you a secure retirement. Step 2. Getting started. Choose the right type of account. Always grab a matching contribution. Question. Do you have a retirement plan at work that offers a matching contribution? Yes or no? If no, go to the next section on Roth IRAs. If yes, always contribute enough to your workplace plan to earn the maximum company matching contribution. Once you reach that amount, you should do more retirement savings in a Roth IRA. About 6 in 10 workplace plans offer a traditional account or a Roth account. And more add this option each year. As I mentioned earlier, please choose the Roth account. Because you are only going to invest in the company plan up to the point of the match, you will also want to save in a Roth IRA. For those of you who were automatically enrolled in your workplace plan, you may in fact be saving in a traditional account. That's the default your employer may have chosen for you. Contact the plan and switch over to the Roth account for your future contributions. Save in a Roth IRA. Question. If you are single, is your modified adjusted gross income, MAGI, below $120,000? If you are married and you file a joint federal tax return, is your modified gross income below $189,000? MAGI is a mouthful, but for most of you, it is very close to the adjusted gross income you reported on your federal tax return. Yes or no? If yes, you are eligible to invest the full $5,500 in 2018 in a Roth IRA account. You may also be able to make a smaller contribution if you are single and your MAGI falls between $120,000 and $135,000. Or if you are married and your MAGI is between $189,000 and $199,000. These levels are adjusted periodically for inflation. If no, invest in a traditional IRA. Given your high income, it is unlikely you will qualify for an upfront deduction on the amount you contribute. But the traditional IRA is still worth it, as your money will not be taxed during the decades it grows. That's called tax deferral, and it is a valuable tool to build retirement security. A special note to stay-at-home parents and non-working spouses. Just because you don't earn a paycheck doesn't mean you can't have a Roth. You can have a spousal IRA, be it a Roth or a traditional. The money you invest in the IRA can come from the income your spouse earns. But what I especially like is that the actual account will be in your name only, not in your spouse's name and not held as a joint account. That's a nice power move. In reality, if you were ever to divorce, money acquired and invested during a marriage is going to have to be equitably distributed. And in community property states, it typically is an automatic 50-50 split. But having the account in your name puts some control and responsibility in your lap and your lap only. Once you've maxed out on the matching contribution and or your IRA, you can keep saving more. I hope you do. Here's your strategy. If you have a workplace plan, remember, the first step was to only invest in a workplace plan up to the point of earning the maximum match. Now you can increase your contribution rate. Or if there was no match and you started with a Roth IRA, now you can add savings in your workplace plan. If you max out on an IRA and don't have a workplace plan, open a regular account at the same brokerage firm. There is no limit on how much you can save in a regular account. For guidance on how to invest in these accounts, listen to Chapter 7, Bonus Section, Investing on Your Own. Okay, you now have the foundation for saving for retirement. Start with a 401k or 403b if there is a match. Set your contribution rate high enough to get the maximum match, but no higher. Choose the Roth version if it is offered. If you don't have a workplace plan or there is no match, start your saving in a Roth IRA. Ready to save more than the IRA max? Contribute more to a workplace plan or save in a regular taxable plan. Step 3. Invest for the long term. Now we need to talk about how you will invest the money you are contributing to a workplace retirement plan and/or an IRA. Your retirement accounts are like an empty suitcase. It is up to you to decide what goes inside of them. Stocks, bonds, cash. Stock up. When you have decades to go until retirement, My advice is that the majority of your retirement accounts should be invested in stocks, because over time, stocks provide the best chance of earning returns that will help your accounts grow at a pace enabling you to afford your life 40 or 50 years from now. The reality of investing is that stocks will periodically go through bad stretches, called bear markets. But through the years, they have always recovered and go on to reach new highs, and you have plenty of time to wait for the recoveries. That said, during stock bear markets, U.S. government bonds tend to hold up quite well when stocks falter. Owning a small portion of bonds can provide some strength to your portfolio when stocks are weak. Recommended stock/bond mix when you are younger than 50. 85% stocks, 15% short or intermediate term bonds. There are many free online asset allocation tools you can use to figure out the right mix for you. Invest in the lowest cost mutual funds and exchange traded funds. Mutual funds and exchange traded funds, ETFs, offer an easy and affordable way to build a retirement portfolio that owns hundreds, even thousands of individual stocks and bonds. That's how you achieve diversification, which is just the fancy pants term for not putting all your eggs in one basket. You only have to make one investment, in the fund or ETF, and you become an owner in all the stocks and bonds it owns. 401ks. You are limited to the investments offered by your workplace retirement plan. Typically, these are mutual funds. IRAs. You can choose among all the funds and ETFs offered by the firm where you have your account. My recommendation is to always seek out the lowest cost index funds or ETFs. Every fund and ETF charges an annual fee called the expense ratio. Your goal is to pay the smallest ER possible. The less you pay, the more of your money stays invested for your retirement. There is no reason to pay an expense ratio of more than 0.50% for an index fund or ETF. In fact, many terrific options charge less than 0.20%. It is easy to find the ER listed online, or you can call customer service and ask. Stressed out? Opt for a target retirement fund to get started. You can build a diversified portfolio with as little as three different index funds/ETFs. I think that's the best way to go. However, if the thought of having to make investment decisions seems a bit daunting or just too big a time imposition at this juncture, I hear you. A target retirement fund, often called Target Date Fund or TDF, can take all the heavy lifting off your to-do list. A TDF automatically holds and adjusts over time the proper types of investments, according to Investment Pros, based on how many years you have until retirement. For example, if you pick a target fund with a retirement date 40 years off, it will start out owning mostly stocks. Then, as you get closer to retirement, it will automatically scale back its investments in stocks and shift to less risky investments. The fund will also automatically allocate your investments in a wide range of types of stocks. Stocks from different countries, stocks from different industries, small stocks, large stocks, and so on. All you need to do is choose a TDF with a date that is near the time you expect to retire. For instance, if you are 30 years old, you might look for a TDF with the year 2050 or 2055 in its name. Most workplace retirement plans offer target retirement funds. The majority of younger people saving in workplace plans opt for them. And all the big investment brokerages you can choose for your IRA also offer target retirement funds as an option. Don't be scared by bears. Once you start investing for retirement, your biggest challenge will be to stay invested when the markets get scary. When a bear market hits, our brains start working overtime, screaming at us, "Sell, sell, sell." If you think like that, you've got it all wrong. When you are young, bear markets can actually work to your favor if you keep investing. As stock prices fall, the money you continue to save from your paycheck or through an automatic deposit into your IRA account will buy more shares. For instance, if you invest $400 a month and the share price of a mutual fund is $40, you can buy 10 shares. If the share price falls to $24, your $400 will buy you 16.6 shares. Because you have decades to go, owning more shares today is what you want. Let's say that 20 years after the bear market, the share price is now $65. 10 shares would be worth $650. If you kept buying during the bear market, your 16.6 shares would be worth nearly $1,100. Tempted to sell anyway and then jump back in when the worst is over? Well, as reasonable as that sounds, it is very hard to pull off with any success. There's no big announcement or clarion bell that proclaims, "Hey, the bear is over, it's safe to dive back in." Investors who sold typically find it hard to decide when to return to investing in stocks. Sitting in cash and missing bull markets is not going to get you to your retirement goals. Step number 4. Hands off until you retire. Money you are saving for retirement needs to stay invested for your retirement, unless you have an absolutely dire emergency. Out-of-pocket medical expenses you can't cover through other savings or your income, you are never to raid your retirement accounts. It is very important to resist the temptation to cash out your workplace retirement account when you leave a job. There is a huge opportunity cost if you pull money out of your retirement account today. A withdrawal today of $5,000 is stealing $17,000 from your future retirement in 25 years or $45,000 from your future retirement in 45 years. A withdrawal today of $20,000 is stealing $68,000 from your future retirement in 25 years or $180,000 from your future retirement in 45 years. A withdrawal today of $50,000 is stealing $169,000 from your future retirement in 25 years or $449,000 from your future retirement in 45 years. This is assuming a 5% annualized rate of return. Once you take the amazing step of saving for your future, please don't undermine yourself by making an early withdrawal. Your future self will be so very grateful you kept the money working for your best interests. When you do leave a job, I recommend doing what is called an IRA rollover, which moves the money from your old employer's retirement fund into an IRA account you have set up at a brokerage or fund company. Once your money is in an IRA, you have more investment options. If you can lower your investing costs with a rollover, that is the way to go. You can learn more in my online personal finance course. Go to suzyu.com/activate and use the activation code MONEY. Retirement planning for those who are 50 plus. I know you are still very much in your prime, but your early 50s is the perfect time to give your retirement plan a thorough checkup. Do that now, and you are giving yourself 15 or 20 years to make smart, strong,